Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I got you on there now. 904-3912. Your mic is open.
Hello.
What's going on? How you doing?
Hey, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Okay, cool. Listen, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a while. I've spoken to you before some years ago. But one, I told my wife a couple months ago, I said, as soon as Yousef gives an open line and I'm available, I'm going to call him. Because every time you put a live video, I cannot comment. And obviously that's not the case for everybody, because I see people commenting, but it doesn't give an open link for me to comment. I can close my comments. I can go into settings. I don't know. But
well, I'm doing on Facebook. Now, all you got to do is just post. You know, you can go to the blog.
It doesn't give me the allowance. And I'm not putting this on you. There's no allowance for me to comment. And I comment on all kind of Facebook Live stuff.
Right.
I'm involved in a lot of different groups. I comment on a lot of stuff.
Okay.
I'm glad to be able to speak to you. On the race thing, my mom and dad were both business owners and both kind of went down after the 2008 recession. But one of the things that my mom talked to me about before that was that every time the state put out a job, which I'm not against, I just want to put this out there because of what you were talking about with the black and white thing, was that if they took a job from the state, then they had to hire a certain amount of people from the local area, and a certain percentage of the people they hired had to be black. And
okay, now you know why that is.
They had a white person apply for a job and put on the application that they were black, and they were blatantly white. And so I'm just talking about this from the Hispanic standpoint. So my mom called the IRS. She called the IRS, and she said, listen, this guy is, you know, he's definitely a white guy, whatever. And the IRS told her, they said, they are who they say they are.
Wow.
They are who they say they are.
Okay, now,
said,
that
okay.
is true. That
she
is
was
true
the
what you're saying. But...
She was the CFO. She was the CFO for this construction company. And she called the IRS, and the IRS said, they are who they say they are. That was their answer.
And listen, that's not my first time hearing that. But I can go a step further on it. They have court cases where people have done that, where they can hail you into court, where they can look. If you look on some of that paperwork, it'll say something to the effect that if there's any question about the legitimacy of your race, you could be called in so they can do a visual inspection of you to determine your race. How many times they do that? They probably don't do it. All right. But yes, I'm very well aware that people do that. Hey, we got people on our side saying they're white. You know, that's why I'm doing this show today, because you got a whole group of people saying, hey, put down on your license, on your application that you're a white person. You know, it's a status. So you can claim whatever you want to claim, you know. But the point of me doing this show is I'm trying to find something to justify it in the law books. You know what I'm saying? Because if you say, what's the status and everything? Okay, well, I went and investigated it. Because it was based off this word, free white persons in a Black's Law 4th edition. And I went and investigated, and I found there was 52 prerequisite racial cases. They have gone very extensively and argued this point for some years, okay, about what constitutes white, okay? And it's not consistent, which most court cases aren't consistent. But I just couldn't see what the Moors were claiming. I didn't find anything like that in the law books. Now, as far as in practice, obviously, I already know they are telling people to put white on and people are doing it, but black people are putting black so they can get benefits and privileges and things like that. And because the 14th Amendment is the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. And based off of that clause is the reason why they make any type of federally funded or any type of corporations that have in there that are public in their character to do that. If they were a private corporation, they didn't have to do that. They don't have to hire. You could be 100% discriminative.
That's right.
In your hiring practices, if you're private.
You know, they were a road construction company. These were state jobs that were being put out to bid.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So they would require these things on. Otherwise, it wouldn't matter. But that's exactly what it was. Exactly. But from a personal standpoint, I mean, does color even matter? Or is it, debtor versus creditor?
Okay.
Where does color come in? From that standpoint, if you're doing commerce,
listen,
then why does it even matter?
Listen, that is my point exactly. Okay, I'm in agreement with you because what I have noticed in my studies, okay, and in studying the law and living life and everything, what I have found is called the only color that matters is green. Okay, and I hate to sound like that because people you only think about is money and all of this. And yes, I do not speak negatively about money because I understand the law of attraction. As Reverend Ike says, money has eyes and ears and he can hear. And if you speak negatively about her, she will leave you. Okay, so you don't speak negatively about money at all. You don't ever speak negative about money. But the thing is what I've noticed is it's about business. It's the status is like a class type thing, I think, that we have, not a racial thing. It's a class thing because you have at the top all races of people that discriminate against other people, not based off of their skin color, but based off of their class, if they're poor, middle class or whatever, what I'm saying? Like that right there. Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking. And from what I'm seeing also is that it is it's a business. You know what I'm saying? Everything is about business. Everything seems to be about business. It just seems to be about business. That's just my take on it. Now, I don't have
Does the UCC ever talk about color of skin?
No. It only talks about creditors and debtors. That's it. It's all about creditors. Everything about secure party is about creditors and debtors. And I've always made this too. I've always said this. When I came into this, it was the white people was the one that really established the secure party. They was the ones that was pissed off and understood what was going on with the system, how it was fucking them over and everything. They were the ones that really, jumped all this stuff off. Everybody just kind of jumped on board with it and started studying it and understanding it. But if you look at the early pioneers of all of this information, they even accused us in the Posse Comitatus. They was trying to say it was a rape, but I got videos from the Posse Comitatus on my website. They've got members in their organization who are black.
That's right.
They understood, they wasn't like what people are. You go and listen to James Wickstrom speak. He wasn't a racist person. He was telling the truth. He might personally have something against other races. I don't know. But the things that he was saying was true. He was saying it's a corporation, the 14th Amendment, communism. He's talking about a communist socialism trying to keep creeping in. They're trying to destroy Christianity. All those things are true. Those are true things. Yep. You're seeing them come into fruition right now. So I have never gotten that feeling from it that it is about race either. The UCC is just what it says. It's the Uniform Commercial Code. This is about business. This is not the Uniform Nationality Code. It's not any of those things that they try to ascribe or attribute to it. All right. Most of the people, they do that because they don't read it. I remember the first time that I was ever introduced to the UCC, a Moorish sister, she told me, she said, do not read the UCC. It is dangerous. You can get yourself into trouble. And I was like, what? I can get myself in the trouble. And I'm reading it now, and it's just like reading a game of Monopoly. I'm like, what is she talking about? You know, what is she talking about? There's nothing dangerous about this. You know, so what I have found is that people, and I hate to say this, but what I had to learn how to do, it was kind of like this. I'm going to tell you my biggest lesson. I used to repost case citations from other people. And then out later only to find that those case citations were faulty. And that's what taught me early on that, look, when I get a case citation and somebody says this case citation is saying this right here, I go and read it and see if I can find that to justify, okay, is that really what this case is saying? And that's how I got into reading a lot of case law. And a lot of people won't read case law, but case law teach you more about law than any other thing, reading case law. Reading those cases, especially if it relates to trust. So that was my only point. It wasn't even really to deny or say that people weren't right. It was just to say,
I know that. I look at you all the time.
How are you justifying it? Yeah, how are you justifying it? Yeah, that's all. My point is, where is the justification? Where is the evidence? Because when somebody says something to me, I start looking for it. That's okay. Well, because if I'm going to say it, see, I got a lot of courtroom experience, so I already knew if I'm going to come into this courtroom and say something, I have to be able to substantiate it with law that I can put into the evidence file, okay, for the judge to rule on. You have to give the judge evidence, law, that the judge can rule on. So I'm looking for the evidence to do that with, and even in the construction of my documents, if you're saying I need to claim nationality and you're putting together nationality documents, okay, that are supposed
to
have some sort of legal. You know, I'm like, okay, well, where is the, how you just reading one definition out of Black's Law 4th edition with a limited understanding, and then you're reading the expert commentary, by the way, right? Who, and then you put some that's kind of misleading, if you ask me, because when you read the cases, they don't say anything like what he's saying in that definition.
Right, because if you're in a court, you probably came out from underneath the umbrella of your constitutionally protected rights, and that's why you're in the court. It's a commerce.
That's why.
It's a commerce deal. You stepped out of the public. You stepped out of the private and into the public. That's why you're in court.
And that's the only thing, all these all-point arguments where people challenge jurisdiction, the only issue is the bond. You know, early on in my career, everybody said, go in the courtroom and ask the judge for the bid bond. Do you know you can still do that? Do you know that if you go in there and ask those people from the bid bond, you watch them start squirming and everything, and what are you talking about and everything? You know, they're going to deny it and everything, but if you catch them off guard and ask you for it, they're going to be like, because you have to read their body language. Because they're never going to acknowledge what you're saying, but when you catch them off guard with certain things, you can read their body language. That's 90% of that, and you can see, okay, something's up. What's up? When I said bid bond, everybody got nervous. And then I'm going to tell you what's the next thing. You're going to get the impression that they're waiting to see what you're going to do, and most of the times you don't know what to do next.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
You don't know how to enforce it. That's the problem with the commerce game. It's real.
It is. Right now, if people knew what to do right now, I think the game could be changed because the courtrooms are closed. Where I'm in Florida. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, just outside of Jacksonville, Florida. And Jacksonville is a pretty open place. But our courtrooms are closed. And they're making deals with all kinds of people because their courtrooms are closed. They can't hold open hearings.
They're just
making deals with people and making deals with people. And if people knew right now the paperwork to turn in, I feel like it could change the whole game right now because so many – they would accept them. They would accept them. They would accept them. They would accept them because they need to balance their books. And they're giving people charges right now in Florida that people deserve to go to prison. They're giving them charges, they're giving them probation and stuff just because they're trying to run them through the system so they can process the paperwork.
They're trying to get their money because their money got cut off big time.
Just process them because their system is down right now. is down right now.
They came out with an app right now on Android where, hey, you can download the app if you got a traffic ticket. They got the attorneys. You just use that app, and they will you have to pay the ticket, but it will not go on your record. They got an app for that now. You know, hey, you
and
just,
I know
you,
somebody.
Hey, just,
I know somebody. I'm not bragging about this, but I know somebody personally just got a DUI, second DUI, and went to court, and the courtroom was closed. They gave him a piece of paper, said, call the number, call the judge, and the judge offered him a reckless driving. Is it second DUI? Offered him a reckless driving charge on the first, on the basically the arraignment. Basically on the arraignment. And I'm like, kidding me?
Hey, man, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if this COVID-19. I mean, today, I want to talk about this COVID-19 for a second because it is the underlying reason that the courts are closed. Man, I was walking around today, man. I felt like I was in a They Live movie. I went out to Fayetteville, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go out to a different section of the city and go shopping. Man, I went to Fayetteville. Man, it was everybody. I think probably 98% of the people in Fayetteville are wearing a mask. Listen, I stepped out to every store I went into. I felt very uncomfortable because as soon as I walked through the door, it's like 10 people looking at me, staring at me like, you know, you don't have on a mask. And I was like, wow, they are really pressuring people into putting on a mask.
Yep.
They're pressuring people to put on a mask. You know, it's like
I felt really safe in Florida. Ron DeSantis has been awesome in Florida. Ron DeSantis has stood up, and he's been awesome. And these last couple of weeks, though, they've revved up all this testing, and our numbers on positive cases have gone up, but our numbers on deaths are down. So we're reporting more positive cases, but our death count is still going down. And so now they're reversing some things, and they just mandated in Jacksonville that if you're in a public place, you got to have a mask on. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
They mandated, and people are trying to bounce. That's the thing, this mandation. You know, you're trying to mandate to have on a mask. Now, you got to understand, is you said the correct thing.
Public
when you're in a public, when you're in a public
I
place,
get it.
They cannot.
I've been trying to tell my friends. I'm like, listen, if you want to go in the store, you better have a mask. If you want to go in, you need to have a mask.
And in some places that I have to go, and they force, like I went to the airport. You know, I had to go to the airport here in Georgia. You got to have a mask on to go into the airport. Yeah. I had to go into the airport. I didn't have any choice. I had to put on a mask temporarily to go into the airport. You know, take care of some business at the airport. So there are going to be situations, and I'm not arguing about it. You know, I don't give them any smack about it because it's like, hey, it's a public place. They make the rules in the public. They make the rules, and I can bitch and complain about it, but they make the rules.
If we really have a problem with it, we need to stop going. That's our only defense. We have no right to complain. Either we comply, or we don't go. That's our option.
That's what I was down there in Florida. I was looking at all those people, you know, because y'all had it like y'all had some people out there went off in Florida.
We got some Southern folks down here, dude, that they're not about it. I mean, they think, you know, they don't understand public and private. They think their private rights, extend everywhere they go.
Exactly.
And thank God for people like that. In a way, really, they hold back a lot of stuff because if the government does not want to let the cat out of the bag, that their jurisdiction only lies in the public. They don't want to let that cat out of the bag. So thank God for people like the people in Florida because they push back and then it forces them, to justify their stance without having to come out and say, hey, we have every right to tell you to put a mask on.
You're right. The only push, you know, like when I go into a store now, you know, I walked in T-Mobile and they're like, sir, you have a mask? And I'm like, I said, you know, I just ain't ordered off of Amazon.
That's right.
Amazon, you know, Jeff Bezos, He's predicted to be the first trillionaire in about 4 years, and I can see why. I really think that Walmart is going out of business. I don't know. I think they will be out of business.
I think they'll be salvaged. I think all business will go to online. I think Sears back in the day had it going on with their catalog for Christmas, and they refocused with credit cards, and then all the credit cards came out, and they quit putting that big catalog out every year for Christmas, and they refocused.
Yeah,
they should have kept their focus on telephone and online sales, because that's where it's at. But I think they're gonna allow it. I think.
Man, I used to love that Sears catalog.
I don't think they can allow Amazon to take everybody over.
Hey, man, I'm going to be honest, man. The last couple of weeks, and I'm putting together a studio and all this. I like to go into the store. I've been driving all over the city looking for certain things, and, man, I can't find it. And I can go right to my computer and go straight to Amazon, and there it is right there, the thing I was looking for.
I know, dude. I've been putting it off for years. For years, people have been telling me, man, you need to be shopping on Amazon. And I'm like, man, I don't like that. I don't like that shit. But you know what?
Hey, man, I done got hooked on Amazon now. You know, the way they got it set up on the website and the search, man, it is, man. I'm telling you, it's nice. I'm thinking they're going to take out a lot of people. And it's just like Walmart, you got to think.
Well, they're
going to
reform
19-
sales, I think. I think they're going to allow a lot of people to withstand to it, but I think it's going to change. I think that's the way commerce is going to be done now versus, you know, actually going to the store. But I don't think Amazon's going to be they'll probably be the big dogs probably, but they're not going to put everybody else out of business. They're going to have to allow other businesses.
Well, yeah, they can't be a monopoly, I'm gonna tell you. Walmart do that to all the 5 and 10 cents? So remember, we had all the 5 and 10 cent stores and everything, and when Walmart came out, they started out in all the country towns. They cut all the shops. I remember in Turtle, Texas, when Walmart came to town, Gibson's closed, Mott's closed, all type of shit, you know, start closing when Walmart came into town, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's coming back around on them now. Because right now you go at Walmart, you can see they're not restocking the way they normally restock. It's a lot of stuff that's missing. You know, you can just...
Yeah, you feel like you're in a Bell's outlet or something.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And even in some of the other stores, like Ross, couple other places, it ain't the same. A lot of these stores, it's not the same, you know. Something has fallen off. Some of them have closed up. Huh?
I said, but why would they be? I wouldn't be. Not right now. I mean... People are they're gonna come by whatever you got. They're gonna come by right now. You know, I don't think there's that much competition other than online. There's not that much competition in the stores. Everybody's been closed. You know, nobody's been able to go anywhere. They're gonna go to the store. They're gonna buy whatever you got. You know, they don't have to bring out the latest and greatest or whatever.
That's true.
It's probably smart business, man.
Yeah, I think they're cleaning out the warehouse. All the stuff they had in the back of the warehouse has been sitting there collecting dust. They brought all that stuff out and trying to get rid of it now.
I do too.
I do. That is what they're doing. They're clearing out their warehouse.
Welcome back to the 90s. Welcome back to the 80s. Welcome back to whatever we got.
I know it.
But celebrities on TV to put the new trends out, you know, so whatever.
Whatever. But you know what? I want to get back to this.
Nobody's up there in the spotlight right now to put the new trends out, so it is what it is.
But I want to get back to this white and black thing. Like I said, I don't think that it is. I don't think it's a white or black thing either. I think it's a commercial thing. I've been saying that from the beginning. It's creditor and debtor. You know, is creditor and debtor, you know, and people, you know, and that's the only thing that I can see. And that comes from me studying the Constitution. That comes from me from studying the statutes, understanding the principles of the Constitution, understanding separation of powers, understanding the article, you know, the jurisdiction, you know, it's commercial. It's commercial. And so, and when you go in and start to really make those arguments about in white and black, to me, those belong in Article III courts. You're in a wrong court. You know, if you want to talk about something racially related, like which are some sort of constitutional question, they don't belong in an Article I court. It belongs in an Article III court.
Have you ever been in an Article III court? Have you ever been in an Article III court?
I've never been in an Article III court. No, never.
I haven't either.
I was beginning to wonder if I could,
while I'm on air, I wanted to say too that I have had success a couple of times with creditors, and I am a secured party, but I have not had an issue with a creditor since I've been a secured party. And but three times I've had success with creditors. And I was not a secure party at the time as far as all the secure party process and the UCC filing and all that. And I just, you know, it's like everybody thinks it this, that, whatever, but it's not just a status thing. It's a recontracting thing, you know, it's a recontracting thing. I'm challenging your claim. I'm challenging your claim, and I'm going to do it through a documented process that is going to be recognized by the court. And when we go to court, I will have done my homework, and I will have done this before you did. And it'll already be closed. And it's through the notary, and basically by the time you get there, you've already recontracted with them. It has nothing to do with you being a secure party, unless you're going to issue a negotiable instrument. But you can beat them through a debt validation process without that. It has nothing to do with your status. Nothing to do with your status.
Right.
As far as
if you want a chance, you can challenge. That's like a challenge. If you're going to challenge them, if you're going to do an acceptance,
if
you're going to challenge
them,
it's going to take a lot of work,
and they're going to challenge the hell out of you. And they're going to subpoena you, and they're going to they're not just going to let it lie if there's any kind of money, you know, on the table or asset.
If there's money on the table, they're not just going to roll over.
You're going to be in for the fight for your life, but it has nothing to do with the status. But even if you are, I would say, and I haven't been through it since I've been, you know, done my filing, but even if you had done your filing, it's going to be the same thing. They're going to fight the hell out of you. If there's any assets online, there's no letter. There's just going to get you out of it. There's no whatever. You're going to have to fight them all the way through the court process.
And it's an adversarial proceeding, but you need to also have some sort of something in place. Okay, because this is how I look at it. I look at it as it's an attack on property because of the fact there's no constitutionally mandated money, namely gold and silver in circulation. Okay.
Right.
I want you to think about this for a second. How is money created? Money is created through lien.
Through debt.
Even from the Federal Reserve, you have to have put a lien
through
on
debt.
Property. Through debt. It's a debt.
Through debt.
Okay, so they have to create debt to create money. And they do that by attaching property, a writ of attachment. If y'all know, look up the word attachment. They had to put an attachment on property. And your property is your body, your freedom. Your children, you know, property encompasses a lot of different things, and they are looking to attach that property all the time. It's attached to that Social Security number. It's that Social Security number, I'm telling you, man. It's that Social Security number. But
so,
hey, man, look,
while we're
on
that note, could I ask you a question? Is it unalienable or unalienable?
It's unalienable. You can't alienate. You can't alienate your right. But people came up with unalienable. Unalienable.
Everything,
you know,
everything
the
is
word
leanable.
Alienation. Yeah. But
everything
but
is leanable.
Everything is leanable. You can put a lien
everything
against
is
anything.
Leanable.
Okay.
I've been seeing a lot of stuff
anything.
On is it unalienable or unalienable? But my stance on it is everything is lienable.
Well, here's the thing. When you put a lien, when you do a secure party process, you're putting a lien against your property, so you're the first position holder. So it's unalienable,
right,
in the sense that anybody who comes and puts a lien on your property, they're going to be a junior lien holder. And you know, in commerce, if you have a junior lien and there's a superior lien, your lien can get wiped out. So basically,
right,
what's happening is you, as the secure party, you're just going to the junior lien holder and saying, look, you can't really put a detachment on this property, but hey, I'm a good person. What's your lien? I'll go ahead and pay that for you and everything, so you can go on and make you whole and everything. But this property over,
right,
here, you're not going to be able to get it because it's already got a lien on it, and, you know, a pre-existing lien. That's essentially,
right,
and people, if you want to understand it, just understand mortgages. You got a first mortgage and a second mortgage. In a foreclosure,
right,
all junior liens get wiped out. Okay, all
right,
junior liens get wiped out. If you've ever did a short sale, okay, when you do a short sale, if you go and negotiate, I believe, with a risk mitigation, okay, loss mitigation, okay, and you go into there and you say, hey, look, okay, say that you got this house that's $200,000. Now it's in foreclosure. The first lien was $150,000. The second lien was $30,000. Okay, I go and do the property now is run down, so it's only worth $140,000. Okay, it's not worth the $200,000 now. Now I can go to loss mitigation of the second lien holder and say, look, man, y'all going to get wiped out if this going to foreclosure. If this going to foreclosure, you're not going to get a dime. So what I'm going to do, I'll tell you what, I'm going to offer you $2,000 to release the lien on this property. There are people are going to do they're going to come out and do a broker price opinion on it, make a determination of what the value of the property is, come back and let you know whether they're going to accept the offer or not. And if they accept it, okay, bam. Now, this is how you can, as a real estate investor, you can get the price knocked down. You can get a second lien removed on a particular property. That's how I learned all this secure party stuff, too, because it's the exact same
right
thing that's going on with secure party. Exact same thing.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So if,
but hey,
so
look,
if when one, so when one becomes a secure party, it's, and I ran into this, which it's been 6 or 7 years for me since I started studying this. But I ran into the whole, hey, your birth certificate's worth millions of dollars and all this and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But the reality is the secure party process is a process to discharge public debt. So if you're going to utilize, the secure party process, then it means that you've had good enough credit to have a debt that is now a public debt that you can use this for. And if you're going to use a private trust, which is different than the secure party process, then you're probably going to need some cash or some assets that you can leverage. You have to have something at that point to begin to move forward.
Well, if you're going to use a private trust, but let me get back to the birth certificate because I think you lost me there. First of all, I've heard people say the birth certificate is worth billions and millions, and essentially all that is saying is this. It's your labor. You cannot put a price tag on your labor. Okay, nobody knows how much you're worth. Like, look at Jeff Bezos. He's going to be the next trillionaire. Who would have thought that? There's going to be somebody's going to come along who's going to have $2 trillion, and somebody's going to come along
right
and have $3 trillion, okay?
I understand that, but there's people
right
out there that are, you know, trying to sell this idea that you become a secure party, and now you've got this bond that's worth $100 million that you can use to buy stuff and better your life.
The only thing I know about that is people will put it in a private trust called a private placement platform and trade it on the stock market. That's the only thing that I know about, you know, as far as people being able to monetize the birth certificate.
Right.
Yeah, and then you have to have a trust, and then you have to have an account. The TDA account attaches to it. Okay, and I've actually had an attorney explain this to me. but it involves you becoming a participant at the DTC. That is why I put out the Tony King information, because after listening to his information and talking to his attorney, Tony King is the only individual I ever seen in life that sounded like this attorney. I'm like, damn, this is the same thing Tony King talking about. Let me put his information out there and let people research it and kind of see how you're going to be at the DTC, the Depository Trust Corporation, okay, the holding company called Seed Corporation, all that. When you get into that, if you want to take it to that fault, if you want to try to monetize this birth certificate. But the first step in before doing that is you're going to have to put together a private trust, because that money that's going to go in there has to be allocated for a specific purpose. I think the biggest mistake, most people who come in with the mindset that they're going to just become millionaires off of this and billionaires and they got all this money, is they think they just got money to do whatever they want to do. There is never anything that the government ever gives you money to do what you want to do. The only thing government allocates money for is specific purposes. Like you have to have a humanitarian project or something like that. They don't never just give you money just for you to do something with. They give you money so you can go create industry and businesses and create taxpayers. And if you're not doing that, they ain't fucking with you.
Because they're going to benefit the public that they're responsible for. That's why they're going to give
exactly.
you a break.
Exactly. How is this benefiting
the
public? They want to know how it's benefiting the public. So I just ain't never seen it. I've never seen what these people are talking about. Now you can tell if somebody's experienced in dealing with something by how they talk. Like, man, you ain't experienced with this. They don't do that. I've never seen that. You know, now Tony King, he got into some discussions about some things, but even then, I seen it as like they want you to have, if you're going to get big, even with this revaluation of the currency, there are people, they doing the same thing. They putting together private trust. That money, they seen they have to have a private trust. That money has to be allocated for a specific humanitarian project. Even my friends, who I got friends who have actually monetized negotiable instruments all over the world. It's the same thing with them. They got to have some sort of project that they're doing or something like that. I've never seen nobody just give somebody some money. I just ain't seen it. Not one time. Not one time. Not in years. And I'm talking about years. I haven't seen it. Not one time.
And at that point, you're opening yourself up to an audit, I'm sure.
Yeah. Hey, man, let me put y'all on a short break, okay? I gotta run to the bathroom real quick. So I'm gonna take a short break, and I'm gonna be right back, okay? You can hold on to the line, okay?
Okay.
Okay, sorry about that, y'all. Okay, I'm back. You still there? Ain't nobody else called in. Everybody just listening. Ain't nobody else fishing one, so me and you can keep chopping it up. Good conversation.
Right on. I'm digging it.
But,
I'm digging it.
But back with the private, you know, the monetization, like I said, it always has to do with they want taxpayers.
Right.
Because they in debt. They in debt. That's all they want. It's all about taxes. Everything is about taxes.
Absolutely.
Everything is about taxes. At least from what I've seen. If somebody, I'm sure there
it's
are some
surety.
People out
I mean,
there.
It's every time they get a taxpayer, there it's a new surety, correct? I mean, it's a surety.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and they have to, you know, it's about keeping that money flowing into the elite, too. The elite, the people who own everything. But hey, look,
yeah,
I got
you know
some
what?
Callers.
I mean, am I wrong? I'm trying to tell my friends that, you know, they're like, hey, I pay these people with my taxes, but it's my understanding our taxes go to pay 100% to pay the debt. That our taxes do not go to pay the elites. It's past
that is
taxes.
The
it's a bill.
That is,
it's a bill that we voted for that pays them. When we vote to pass a bill, then it pays for that, and then we're the surety of it. It's not our tax money. Our tax money goes to pay the debt after the fact.
Okay, hold on. I'm looking it
our
up right now. It is.
Our tax money does
commission.
Not go to the salary of the politicians.
It's called the Grace Commission Report. That's what you are quoting. It's the Grace Commission Report. I'm going to put it up on. I'm glad you brought that up because people need to understand that. Okay, let me just say this and put. Let me put the link in the chat so y'all will understand this because y'all keep saying I'm a taxpayer and I'm paid with this my taxes. We pay your salary and all of that kind of stuff. Let me and then I'm going to expand on that too. Why that is very important. What you just discussed about taxes. So right here, I'm putting right now. Putting the link in the chat. That's the link to the Grace Commission report. Okay, and you can go and click on that. When you click on that, you go down to page. Go to page. Let's see, I think it's 16, 17, something like that. Let me see.
You're a soldier, brother.
I think it's page. That's the background. Is this it? Is this the Grace Commission report? Hold on, let me make sure I got the right report. Grace Commission report. Because it was done by Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan did the Grace Commission report. Yeah, that was the Senate here. I'm sorry, I gave y'all the wrong one. Let me put this back in there. That was the wrong link, y'all, I gave you. Okay, let me. That was to something else. That was to a congressional hearing. All right, right here, it's on page 12. It says, with 2/3 of everyone's personal income taxes wasted or not collected, 100% of what is collected is absorbed solely by interest on the federal debt and by federal government contributions to transfer payments. In other words, all individual income tax revenues are gone before one nickel is spent on the services which taxpayers expect from their government. So that's why Ronald Reagan got shot, allegedly, is that when he did his Grace Commission report, right after he came out and announced to the public where y'all tax money was going, I think a week later he got shot. All right. Now, let me say this too. That is the reason why you have municipal bonds. That's why that they are doing what they're doing, because the taxes do not cover the expenses of government. It don't even come close. But they used to sell bonds, U.S. savings bonds and things like that. Right. They didn't pay enough interest and people wouldn't buy them. So what they started to do was they went to the UCC. So now they are writing y'all traffic tickets and giving you charges for all kind of things and converting all that into bonds. And that's what I keep telling us about liens and putting liens against your property. All right. And that's also why they are so aggressive against the UCC. They don't want you filing UCC-1s or anything like that, because when you start to try to encumber that property, this is primarily where they are getting all of their money from right now, is that property that you're leaving unprotected. Right? Yet protected, unprotected. So they put a lien on it, and they're not, like people said, they went in your
that's
Social Security account. They don't
it, man.
That
collateralizes.
They do not. Thank you. They do not have to go in your account. They just collateralize it.
I have a friend. Listen, I used to water ski. So I'm gonna go ahead and go on the record. I'm a white guy.
Okay, I assume that.
You probably knew already. I talked to you a bunch of times. You thought I was a black guy a couple of times when I was talking to you. Anyway, I'm going to go. I'm a white guy. I used to water ski on the U.S. team, and I've been all around the world and all around the country, and I had rich parents, and they lost their shit after 2008. And now they're as broke as I am. And that's kind of what brought me to all this. But I have another friend that I used to water ski with on the team. His mom, she's the CFO of the county that I live in now. And she's the CFO for the county. It's a private role. It's not a public role. It's a private role. And it's, we got hit real hard. I'm in Florida. We got hit real hard by Hurricane Irma. And there was a lot of payouts and stuff through FEMA and all that. And she told me one day, and I've been studying this for a while. I haven't had this conversation with her. I'd like to, but I haven't. But I know it's true. But she told me, she said that FEMA gave these stipulations and said if these requirements are not met, then we will not honor we will not honor the assets of your county anymore. And so after the all the payouts started going out about 6 months later, people are still trying to get money. They're auditing where the money's been, all this stuff, whatever. And FEMA says, if you don't comply with these standards on these homes and these inspections and whatever, we will not recognize your assets in the future. Like, we will not help your county in the future. And so it just goes to show you, county is using your assets, your home, your whatever your county recorded assets
are.
County's using them. And FEMA, you know, when it started getting tight, FEMA said, hey, if you don't abide by these things and these inspections and these whatever, then we won't honor your assets anymore.
It's called pledging. Okay, it's pledging. And when you look up pledging in the Black's Law Dictionary, it's essentially the pawn shop. They pawn all of our stuff and put it in the pawn shop in order to keep functioning. Okay, that's what receivership is. You're in bankruptcy. Right now, the United States is in bankruptcy. So they're in receivership, so they're allowed to keep functioning in order to, service their debt. And how they're servicing their debt is through the property of all the citizens of the country. But the citizens have been converted into some sort of slave status, which is why your public servants don't respect you. Okay, they ain't looking at any of you as sovereigns. They look like, nigga, what is you talking about? Y'all got Social Security numbers. Y'all welfare recipients. Y'all take health care, Medicare. Y'all want all kind of care. You want us to give you something and everything. Then you're going to sit back and talk about you some sort of sovereign or something like that. Get out of my face. What are you talking about? You're not no damn sovereign, okay? That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? You're taking benefits and privileges. Then, no, you are not a sovereign. You're not a sovereign. You're not in that status.
God is sovereign. It's a biblical. God is sovereign because God needs nothing from anybody else. That's what makes God sovereign, right? So if someone's going to say I'm sovereign, then that means I need nothing from anybody. I have everything I need, and I don't need anybody else or anything outside of the system that I built or whatever. I built a sovereign system. I built a whatever. But I don't need anything from the outside to sustain what I have, and I can defend it.
And people have
mine.
They have
it's mine. You can't take it from me, and you can't. It's mine.
What you just defined was freedom.
And you're not going to take it from me.
It's freedom, and people won't. You know, they won't. They have lost the understanding of what freedom is, what the word freedom means, what it means to truly be free. All right, that's what we're discussing.
A lot of people don't understand how small their little sovereign square is. I think, you know, as a group, our sovereign square is tremendous, but as an individual, our sovereign square is very small.
That's why I started
somebody and say I'm sovereign, you know, unless you really have a group with you that is with. I mean, sovereign is I've heard you talk about it. It's a nation. I can defend my borders. I have my assets, and I don't need you. And I can contract with you, or I cannot contract with you, and you're not going to take it from me. That's sovereign.
Listen, let me tell you something.
You know, I think this sovereign thing is being taken very loosely, where it's a big thing.
Well, you're wrong and you're right. Let me tell you why. I'm going to give you my thoughts on it. First of all, I want to say is that's the reason I started teaching. Because years before I ever hit the mic, I was going back and forth in court, fight. I was fight. Every year, fighting. All the people I was associated with, fighting. And I came to the conclusion. One day, I got arrested, and I had a house, and they came to the house. First, somebody called me on my cell phone. And he told me, he said, you know, man, he said, sometimes you don't have to go looking for trouble. Sometimes trouble comes looking for you. Okay. He called me on the phone and said that to me. All right. Because I was just on a radio show saying some shit. So, and had been in court and went at me and this judge is just going at it. And I asked her for an oath of office and we kind of went at it and shit. So she sent a hit squad to the house. About 12 white sheriffs, they came in through the windows. You know, they like did SWAT on me and shit. And I was at home by myself. I was getting ready to leave. I had me a briefcase and everything, and I was getting ready to leave. So I'm in the living room. They come in, about 12 of them. They all got their guns drawn. They surround me, and they all got their guns pointed at me. They could have killed me dead right there and could have said anything. No witnesses or anything like that. So I got my hands in the air. They said, freeze, freeze. They screaming at me. I'm looking at the expression on their faces. Everybody's frowning up. They just hoping I make a wrong move so they can blow my head off and everything. I'm just in the middle of the living room, got my hands up high as I can say, and then all of a sudden I just said, I'm looking around, I said, can I help you, gentlemen? I said, and a couple of them started laughing, and so a couple of them eased the tension, a couple of them dropped their gun. You know why we're here? And I was like, look, I don't know why you're here, okay? Because I'm thinking they planted some drugs in the house. I thought it was a drug raid. I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, oh, shit, they didn't put the keys in the house or something. They trying to fuck me up, you know. And he said, nah, we here for an eviction. I said, an eviction? And then so my hands were down. I said, an eviction? I said, wait a minute, hold on. I said, you don't have, you know. I said, well, let me see your paperwork. He said, we don't have to show you no paperwork. I said, well, I'm not going anywhere. Do you show me some paperwork? So they arrested me for obstruction. From obstruction, planted a whole bunch of charges on me and shit like that. And after that day, that's when I decided I was going to start teaching, because I saw that me by myself was not enough. They can take me and hide me. They, you know, no matter how ballsy you are, you know, they will take it there and threaten to kill you. You know, they'll threaten to kill you and everything, you know, and lose your life. And that's what I said. I said, you know what? More people got to know about this. I'm going. And then this is the next thing I had to do. I had to say, okay, well, if I'm going to teach a lot of people, I'm going to have to be thorough and a motherfucker, because there are people out there saying that, oh, this is some bullshit, what you're saying. Y'all some fucking sovereign citizens. That's that sovereign citizen shit that you want to talk about. You know, all that. So I was prepared for all of that. I said, okay, but you dealing with somebody. I've been in court. I know how to read case sites. I know how to do this. So I'm gonna be thorough, and I'm gonna show it. I'm gonna expose this shit, and I'm just gonna teach people. But so we have a whole bunch of people out there that know this, and once it reaches capacity where enough people know and they can start asking questions, then we can change some things. And this type of thing with this COVID-19 is the exact type of situation where it is necessary to know this kind of knowledge. This is exactly what this kind of knowledge is built for. Because now it comes to the forefront. Well, where is your status? You know, you have to wait. Well, you need to understand.
It's like 9/11 all over. It's like the Patriot Act, part two. Right now,
exactly.
You know, 9/11 happened. They passed the Patriot Act, you know, because everybody was all, you know, in an uproar over 9/11. They passed the Patriot Act. They took so many rights, and it's like the way I see it. This is the Patriot Act part two. This is the second round, round two. Let's go.
The Patriot Act.
And the people in the midst of fear. Let's take as many rights as we can.
Listen. These people know. Hey, man, look, I gotta go to another call. I got some callers in the lit up. I appreciate your time and everything. All right.
Well, thank you for talking to me, buddy. I really do.
Hey, no problem, man. No
hey,
problem.
Real quick,
let me take some
real
more calls.
Quick on the COVID-19 thing, my mom that was the construction lady, now she's an insurance lady. And so she told me the other day, anybody who takes a COVID-19 test, and it's no bullshit, you can look it up. It's in, she works in Florida. You can look it up. Anybody that takes a COVID-19 test is ineligible for life insurance, whether they come back positive or negative. So you can look that up. You can look that up on your own time. But that's what's going on.
Wow.
That's what's going on.
Thank you
I appreciate
for that.
Your
I'm
time.
Going to check that out.
Yeah.
All right.
Check it
appreciate
out.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate right. it. Now, that was some shit right there he just said. You know, I got to do some research on it, but it makes sense. It makes sense. It makes sense. I got to look into that. I got to look into that. If you are taking the COVID-19 test, you're ineligible for life insurance. Got to look that up. Let me go to 720-0894. Your mic is open. You're on the line. What's on your mind?
What's up, big guy? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm doing great. Doing great. What's happening?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been following you for a while here, and this is Jerome Brewer, and I first came across you with Eric John Phelps. I was kind of, you know, I started my my research back in 08, and he kind of led me to you, but and then, you know, so basically the reason why I'm calling today, my man, is because I never really paid attention to what my father was telling me about becoming a felon and being outcast in society and all that extra stuff until I got older, had a family, had a wife, had these struggles, you know, and I just wasn't able to overcome these things. And I hate to be that kind of person to call up and, you know, because I've seen you, you know, I love how you handle yourself. I love how you, the whole program and everything,
right,
and how you educate everyone. But my thing is, you know, I'm not looking for a way out, but I am sure certainly trying to change not only my future, but my current life and situation as it is, because I have three children.
Okay.
And, you know, as a man as a black man, you know what I mean? I feel like, especially with the stuff changing in how it is now, nowadays, behind the whole thing with George Floyd and all that extra stuff, you know, as a black man, there's duties I have to uphold, and it's going to be very hard to do that with that stigma or that status of a felon. And
no,
really
it's not. Let me say this. Let me give you my story. I don't know if you heard my story.
Okay.
I'm a felon.
Yes, sir.
I'm a felon. Okay. All right.
Yes, sir.
Now, what happened to me when I came out of jail? I went through that shock too of being a felon. I had heard about it, but I didn't really understand the significance of it. You know, probation officer, you got to go get a job. I'm trying to go get a job. I'm trying to change my life. I don't want to go back to prison or anything like that. I want to do the right thing now. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm glad I'm out. All that's behind me now. As I'm going to take a new life. I'm going to do the right thing. All right. So the probation officer tell you, well, you know, you got to tell everybody that you are a convicted felon and just let them know that they're going to get some tax credits, you know, if they hire you. Okay. That's the bullshit that they tell you, you know, when you go out. So I'm putting out, going to applications. So my first place I go to, I put in the application. I had to take a test. And I scored higher than everyone on the test. And they called me, we are so happy you scored so high on this test. We want to call you in for a second interview. I come in for the second interview. They looking at my resume and they say, well, you know, everything looks great, but we just want to know, what are these gaps in your employment? Where have you been for the last 5 years? So I say, well, sir, I just want you to know, I just got out of prison, but I want you to know I'm gonna be a good. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir. We can't have you. Thank you, but no, thank you. Did a goddamn one. I'm sitting there. I'm at the damn table. I'm like, goddamn, you just did a three goddamn 180 on me. You know. So then I go to another one, and that same thing happened like three, four more places. So finally, I'm beat the fuck down. Okay, I try to go get a temp job. Okay, I'm like, shit, they even beat me down. Because I see what's happening. These motherfuckers want me sweeping floors and mopping and shit. Mm. Working at I even tried to get a job as a goddamn bus driver. Okay? That's why you can't have, and to get a bus driver, you cannot have had a ticket like in 8 years. Not a single fucking ticket. Let me just tell you that. All right, so.
Yes, sir.
All right, so I did. So I was doing all this. I go to the temp agency. This is where everything changed for me. I roll up to the temp agency. This motherfucker got a sign on the door. If you have ever been arrested in your life, don't even think about filling out an application. It said some shit just like that. So so the owner was coming out of the office, and I just started cussing him out because he was a brother. So that's what really pissed me off. I said, you motherfucker, you piece of shit motherfucker. So he looking at me all scared and everything. I'm like, you old piece of shit, old punk ass motherfucker. And I'm cussing him out, right? And I leave. Yeah. He to this day, he think I'm crazy. I'm like, why is this motherfucker cussing me out? But I'm cussing his ass out. So I'm walking downtown, down the sidewalk, and I remember to this day exactly where I was and what I thought. I'm going to tell you exactly what I did to change for me. I visualized in my mind a bridge. On one side of the bridge was me. On the other side of the bridge was Jobs. I visualized me walking across the bridge and taking a grenade and throwing it over the back of my shoulder and blowing that goddamn bridge to smithereens. And I promised myself I will never fucking look for another job again.
Wow.
So the problem with most felons, what they don't understand is it ain't that things change for you. You just can't get no job. You have to become an entrepreneur. You have to become one. Okay, you got to burn that goddamn, safety net. All right, you got to think you're like a trapeze artist. Okay, if you're on the trapeze and you get getting thrown to the next person, if there's a net down there, you might not focus as hard on it. But if ain't no goddamn net down there, you're gonna focus like a motherfucker. And for all of you people who don't think you,
and
go ahead.
I mean, I hear all that.
What you gonna say? I'm gonna get to what to do. I'm gonna get to what to do.
Okay.
All right, but I want you to get my background because I was a person, didn't have a car, didn't have no money, everything taken away from me, my family, my kids, everything got taken away from me. But I didn't sit down and boo-hoo and talk about what I can't do. I had studied the law of attraction, I understood it, and I also understood early on, I made a decision that I'm going to have to do something, and I started studying real estate. Okay, I started studying real estate. That was my thing. So for you to sit here and say how you're going to change your life as a felon, I got all of my friends, every friend I got who's a felon, they all got their own business. Motherfuckers making money. I ain't around no broke niggas. And most of the people I'm associated with, they all got records and shit like that. And they all got money. If you would meet them, they wear suits and shit. And you meet them, you would never think that they had ever been in prison.
Felons. Right.
You would never think that. Okay. So that right there is, I can't fly with that. When dudes be telling me and shit, you know, it's hard out here and things like that. Man, look, what I did, okay, I'll tell you exactly what I did. I was enrolled in school. I was going to school, and I had a 4.0 GPA. And what I would do is I went to school in the day and night. I took a full course of classes. All right. I was going in the day and the night. And I'd go to school 8 o'clock in the morning, get out around 10:30, 11, and then I start walking the neighborhoods, writing down all the addresses from houses because I had been studying about flipping vacant houses. Because I picked what I was going to do. I'm like, okay, what am I going to bird dog? Am I going to wholesale? I don't have no money. I don't have
right.
no money. I can't really wholesale, you know, and shit like that. What can I do? The only thing left for me to do was basically flip these damn vacant houses, call it bird dogging and whatever, you know. So to do that, I had to first study after repair value, and I had to learn how to do comps. How I learned how to do comps,
fair
I didn't have no money.
And
fair market value. So what I would do is I would call all of the contractors, and they would give free estimates. Everybody was giving free estimates. So I have a house on a contract. I say, you know what? I need to check and see if it's a hazmat issue on here. Call somebody in a free estimate. I call a roof man, call in and get a free estimate. And so when them guys came out, if they went up on the roof, guess what? I went up on the roof with them. Man, now show me what you're talking about, man. What y'all be looking at up here on the roof and everything? You know, what I'm looking for is blah, 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 blah. You know, HVAC,
right.
Kitchen, bathroom, all that right there. Going into Home Depot, pricing shit, getting all that every day. I got to the point I could drive through a neighborhood and look at the fucking house and tell you how much it was worth. I didn't even need to motherfucking go and get a comp on it. I said, okay, this neighborhood over here, that right there, that's about, and I'd be pretty close because you get so good at doing it to a point you get close and everything. All right, so now after you learn how to do after repair value, you determine you got to study. The next thing I had to study was negotiations. You got to learn how to negotiate, okay? And the key to negotiation is he who names a price first loses.
Loses, yes.
And also, another thing is if you can't make money without money, you can't make money with money.
Whoa.
If you can't make money without money, you can't make money with money. Okay? So these are the things I was learning back then. I was studying this shit every day. I had a whole book that I can put people on this phone who knew me back then. They said this motherfucker used to carry around a booklet this damn thick with nothing but articles on real estate. I'm studying Ron LeGrand and all those other guys back there. They had put out books and everything. I'm reading their books and everything. I'm reading everything to all of the till it just became second nature to me. And then that's how I started off. And I did my first flip, made $5,000. Then I learned how to do short sale. I learned how to do subject to deals. A lot of things, I started learning to do a lot of things. Now, when I came to Atlanta around 2010, everybody in Atlanta was doing fraud. So I stopped doing real estate because right before I got out, they were giving people like dope boy years for real estate fraud. Okay,
right.
They'll give motherfuckers 25 years, 20 years. Motherfuckers coming in there with a lot of damn time for doing them that fraud on real estate and shit. And I was seeing dudes were still doing it. They getting arrested at the closing table, all kind of shit. So Atlanta is just an off-the-chain city. So I said, you know what? I just got out of this shit. Let me step back from this for a little while. And I started studying after that real estate marketing. And that's why you see me doing so much stuff on the internet, because I studied it for years, how to market, how to do certain things, how to build your own website, all this kind of stuff. I believe right now the best skill that anybody can teach themselves right now is how to build a website. I'm going to be honest with you. That is an important fucking skill. I'm so glad I know how to build a website. I'm so glad. That's the best skill I got. So those things, you got to get you a skill. You got to settle down and focus on one thing and decide what you're going to do. All you're telling me is, I need to change
exactly
my situation.
Like,
you know, no, what? Why,
well,
why
I mean,
your situation
I've
ain't changed?
Well, huh?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I've been an electrical apprentice I've been in the electrical trade since like 07. And
right.
I don't really have a problem getting work and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's funny, like I just got a job with this company, pay me like $25 an hour. And I'm like, okay, well, good. That's great for me because I just got out to this whole pandemic. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just got out of prison.
Right.
For being a felon in possession of a firearm. Now, I've met I've met white folks, black folks, Hispanic people, all kind of people who were responsible gun owners, and they put a lot of stuff into me. So I became a constitutionalist, basically, in 2016. So I started walking around with pistols, or I'd have them in my house or whatever. And then eventually, you know, people that either know something about it who didn't like me having something or that they didn't have, because I was like, you know, going through like little homeless spurts and stuff too, they'd call the police on me.
You put it in a safe.
And I'm like, what the
That's
hell?
The first, thing,
huh?
First thing you should have did, have it in a safe. You should have put it in a safe, locked it up, get you a safe.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah,
go ahead.
A little kind of hindsight, but. But I'm on parole currently still. I got like maybe six more months left in my parole. I'm in Colorado, and you know these folks are so freaking wicked out here, man. But I'm still trying to do my best to maintain and jump through these hoops and do what they're requiring me to do. And the sad part about it is every time I talk to people, because I've been following you since 2017, like I said with John Phelps. But anyway. So I've been busy. I've got myself back on track, and it seems like every time I pick up another felony or whatever, like they just rip every freaking thing from me. And so right about now, my thought is, how do I get myself in a situation as a secured party creditor to where I can either take my life back from these people or, you know,
The thing is this. First of all, you're gonna have to get a copy of your jacket. You're gonna have to get that from the Fed. You're gonna have to go to a UPS store and get fingerprinted. Okay.
Is that the SID?
Get the
Is that the SID number?
Say what?
The
SID number is with them. They do have the SID number, but you want your whole jacket. The Fed's got all your arrests. Yeah, this is just like ordering a credit report. How are you going to get rid of you're doing the same thing. How you clean a credit report is how you clean your criminal record. They about the same fucking thing. It's commerce. Just remember, it's commercial. These are accounts that are still open, okay, and you're closing these accounts, all right? And that is how you're going to start the process. You're going to have to set off each one of those individual cases that are on your criminal history report once you get your jacket from the feds, okay? You get the jacket from the feds, and you're going to have to start, and that's what you're going to have to start doing. Now, it's going to be a fight on some of them. I'm not going to say it's going to be completely easy, but you asked me how you do it, and that's how you're going to have to do it. You can't do nothing until you know exactly where the accounts are. If you're going to use a secure party process to discharge something, well, the first thing you got to do is you got to be able to locate the account. Where is the account? So the only thing you got to, like with anything, if you're going to discharge a mortgage, what's the first thing I'm going to do when I discharge a mortgage? I'm going to order a 30-day payoff. I need me a presentment. So you're going to have to do the same thing. If you're going to discharge those cases, you got to get a present. You got to order your criminal history. And that's going to be through the federal government. It's the FBI got that information. It's the FBI who has it. And they require that you fingerprint yourself. You can get the fingerprint card from UPS store. Some UPS stores do it. And then submit it off. They got a form that you fill, and you submit it off, and take about 6 weeks, and your stuff come back. And then that's the first step that you take in your journey. As a matter of fact, I have been contemplating, which I guess I will go ahead and do, I got this information on expunging your criminal record. People ask me about it all the time. I just haven't been doing those videos like that lately because they're a lot of fucking work and people don't donate.
I still haven't donated to you, man.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's like people want you to sit back, and I don't get a lot of donations. I don't know why I don't get a lot of donations. Thank you to all the people who do donate. I do get some, and I say I don't get any. Thank you for you who do. But I don't get a lot of donations, so I have to work, and, you know, I have a website and things like that. And I'm not hurting or anything like that. I'm not begging anybody for any money or anything. But, you know, it's an appreciation thing because, you know, you put 2-3 weeks into putting together a video and they only get like 3,000 views or something like that. You know, people not interested in it. And it's always the videos I'm going to tell you.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Always
yeah.
The,
or your crap is or your stuff's getting taken down, which I've noticed a lot.
Yeah, yeah, because they claim I'm spreading hate and shit. I can't tell the truth about who's running everything. So, you know, that's another thing. And I'm about to just say, you know what, forget that and go back to doing what I was doing. But the thing is that,
well, like the
you know, it take
like,
a lot
like
of work.
About that, you know what I mean?
It take a
like,
lot
like
of
the protocols
work
of the
to put
learning
videos
design
together.
And all of that stuff.
They don't want you talking about that shit, man. They don't want you talking about it.
Right.
I'm trying to tell you. They don't want you saying, if you want to understand who is in control, all you got to do is find out who you can't talk about.
Right, with the
That's
ADL
it.
And, you know, Anti-Defamation League and what is it?
Come on, man.
And all of that extra stuff.
They control everything. You know what I'm saying? That's what's behind all this pandemic stuff. I'm trying to tell everybody. Somebody just sent me $2. Thank you for the person that sent me the $2. Okay. And you know what? That's cool because if you got to think like this, if everybody who watched the video, let's say you did a video and it got 3,000 views. If everybody who fucking watched the video gave you $1, you have $3,000. It's not like $2 is a bad thing or anything like that. It's just that more people say, give $1. You know, hey, $1. If everybody gave $1, go on your Cash App, send $1 and everything, that would motivate a lot of us to make more stuff because you're like, okay, I made $3,000 in donation. Shit, let me spend 2 weeks making this video, put this information out for them. But it's an appreciation thing. You're like, damn, I don't really think they're free. Because I'm going to tell you what happens. This is what happens. The videos that you spend all the time on, people sleep on.
Watching.
The videos that you just.
The one that you're making, yeah.
Yeah, the ones you just kind of like, oh, I'm going to put this out, and you ain't really thinking about it. That's the motherfucker get 300,000 views. You're like, because when I put out that how to sign your signature without liability and the on the one on the passport, I kind of like was just kind of like, you know, I wasn't really focused on it that tough. And them videos just took off. You'd be like, God damn, you know, this video took off, you know. And so, you know, you don't ever know what people are going to, you know, I guess that's with anything. You don't know what's going to be a hit. But, you know, the work you put in it, it's a lot of work going that stuff. That's all it is, a lot of work, man. I got to read. First of all, I have to read the entire book. Like, because with this thing with expunging your criminal record, I'm going to read the entire book. I'm going to transcribe it because I believe people should see the words on the screen as you're reading. Because the biggest problem I see is people refuse to read. That's a big issue. People will not read. They want you to read for them. They want you to do everything for them. I'm not doing shit for you. You're going to have to do
but
it
you
yourself.
Say that a lot. You say that all the time, and people are watching your videos. And for some reason, it seems like even if you put it in damn near every freaking video, they still are not motivated to read.
They ain't motivated. So,
and it's crazy because,
hey,
like,
listen,
you've
that's why I started reading for them, because we're in a different time. People don't have time. I understand that. You know,
right.
Audiobooks are real big. You know, so I said, we need audiobooks with this stuff right here, professionally done audiobooks.
And that's
where
what
people
you've done.
Can just,
and that's what you've done with the videos.
Yeah, exactly.
And I promise you, I know this is a private situation, and I can't be just like going out there telling everybody, you know, all the stuff that's private. But, you know, when you find yourself in a debate, or not even a debate, but like just like a kind of friendly conversation with somebody about these type of things, when they act like they don't know, like they're oblivious to what the heck's going on. And then you're like, well, here's what's going on. And you start laying it out to them. And the first thing I do is I give out resources to where they can find out this information myself. And your name's usually included. And I, like when I was in prison, or if I was in jail or whatever, going to prison or whatever, I would actually write down like this list to get these people on the same page. It would be about like 30 something people long, and your name's in there. And in terms of like people talking about the secure party creditor process, you're the only person that I recommend, usually, period, because I know who's out there, and I'm not gonna say their name, but I know who's out there. It's just I'm more confident with your I don't know if I could call it services or your work, you know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm at, and I've been trying to turn my mother onto it. I've been trying to turn my cousins onto it. I've been trying to turn my sister and my brothers and all, you know, onto it. And my mother's listening enough. Like, she's trying to figure out, well, what's up with this birth certificate authentication process? And I try to explain that to her and help her out with that. You know, but anyway, so my whole thing is, and here's probably the main question I really need to ask you, since I do have your time, because it's hard to get a hold of you.
Okay.
So,
yeah, go ahead. That's why I do this open phone line, so people can call and ask me questions. But go ahead.
Right. And this is not to discredit you in any way, shape, or form by me saying that. I do apologize if it sounds that way. But I've been to your website. I've been to the Private Side Solutions, and I'm like, okay, so I see the packages that's there. Nothing's wrong with any of those prices. Those are pretty good prices, I think. I'm just like, well, you know, sadly enough, I mean, I could catch on to what's being taught. But again, you know, there might be some babysitting or some handholding to some stuff I don't understand, and I don't want to burden you, but I definitely need your help, and I do respect and understand that.
Okay, so you want a consultation, basically, one-on-one consultation. Is that what you're saying? You want me to do a webinar? Like, I probably should go. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. What did you say?
No, well, I'm saying I'm pretty much oblivious to the process. Like, you know, there's other videos out there, trust me, and I can deal with them.
Right.
But it's just that you make it seem a lot easier to understand, and so I would like to pay you for your help. I want to be SPC.
Okay. Well, I mean, thank you for that. What I would suggest, though, I mean, there's nothing I'm going to tell you in private that I don't say in public as it relates to this. I think some people think I'm holding back things. I'm not holding back anything. The thing is, I'll tell you what, I think I do one better. I'll do a webinar. I'm going to start doing webinars again. They'll be very inexpensive. It'll be less. And then you can I sit down and explain to a group of people, because the reason I do it like this is because I could make a lot of money doing consultation. I did consultations in the past and did a lot of that stuff. Trust me, I did a lot of that stuff, you know. And, you know, it's just like you find out you'd be doing four and five. You do four or five consultations a day. It's 5 hours, 4 hours a day that you're just talking to people. And then some of them overrun the hour and shit like that, you know. So it's like you're spending all your day talking to people every day, you know, about different things and everything. And then some of the people, you don't know who you're talking to. You don't even know who you're talking to. You know, they come and ask you all type of crazy questions and shit like that. But it gets to a point where you say, you know what, let me try to do something where I can help the most people, you know, try to leverage my time and my ability where I can, because the questions that you have, 100 people have the same question. So,
yes, sir,
and try to knock out one bird with one stone. So I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to commit to this right now in the air. I'm going to say, I am going to do a webinar, y'all. And it's going to be Tuesday and Thursday of next week. Okay, I got my office now. I'm refocused on things. I'm going to do this. It's going to be very inexpensive. It's not going to be expensive. And I'm going to let y'all, and if you're, what I'm going to do, if you're a member of SBC, you will automatically get access to it. Okay. So if you just want to join SBC University, that'd be a good thing too to do.
I don't want to pay the 89. Like I'm trying to pay like the 100, 200, you know, like the 150, 200, 250, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Like I'm trying to get maximum, you know.
Right. Hey, I that's why I have a yearly price. I do like the secure part. You can pay just one price and have access to it for the whole year. You know what I'm saying? I tried to make different type of price things for different type of people. But I know people want to talk to me and you know, one-on-one and things like that. But you got to understand, I've been doing it like seven, 8 years talking about the same thing, over and over and over and over and over and over. And sometimes like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So it's like, some videos so people watch some videos, you know what I'm saying? So that's all about. But I'm going to get back out there on the circuit. So I'll tell you that. You can email me. Just email me when we get off the phone, man, and we can talk offline, okay? My email is highfrequencyblogtalk@gmail.com. Highfrequencyblogtalk@gmail.com. Just put in the subject line. I'm the guy that you spoke to on the phone, and, you know, I contact you, okay?
Yes, sir. My man, I appreciate you very much. highly respect you. Highly honor you, my man. And I'm always on there. I'm always putting like, you know, I don't care however I can help you out. If I'm putting up a thumbs up on the video, if I'm sharing the video or whatever, I'm vested in your tutelage. And, I really wish that people would be able to, put their own, opinions and BS aside and just kind of get to this one point where we can, accept the realities that we're dealing with on a daily basis. And I look at you like a big brother, man, because, you know, anybody who comes in the form of liberating people, you know what I'm saying, deserves to be regarded with some honor. You know what I'm saying? So I see you giving a lot of yourself. I see how you're, you know what I'm saying? Even when you're shining, you're doing it to be an example to people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, people can be like, oh, he's done. He just, who gives a shit about all that, man? Like the man is living the way we're supposed to all be living.
Living.
You know what I mean? We have that.
Thank you. Because it's like, I'd be like, damn, you know, I've been working like 15 years. I can't buy a gold chain.
Right.
I can't buy a damn gold chain.
Ain't nobody crying to 50 Cent. Ain't nobody crying to Dr. Dre and Eminem and all that. You know what I'm saying? Nobody doing none of that.
Yeah,
you know?
he making money and all that. I'm like, man, look, man, if you do something consistently over time, you're supposed to at some point be profitable in your life. You know, you're supposed to celebrate the success of other individuals or to roll off on you. Okay, you cannot, you know, but it's people. What it is people's lack of understanding of how the laws work. The laws of prosperity do not reward jealousy, envy, hatred, or negativity in any kind of way. If you want to be prosperous, the first thing you have to do is you have to remove negativity. You got to embrace positivity in everything that you do. With the people that you encounter and everything, you got to be positive in everything that you do. And that's when wealth will start to be attracted to you. Wealth is not attracted
well, again,
to
like
negativity.
Well, again, like you said, you know, remain in honor at all costs. Now, if people would do that
in
on a daily basis and stop looking at each other like enemies and freaking competitors, we'd be all right. Now, I understand capitalism is very important. You know, I mean, otherwise you'd be left with communism and then socialism and everything else, which is pretty much what we're getting.
Socialism, Marxism, and communism is unnatural. It's unnatural, and that's why the argument that the people is unproductive, and the arguments that you see, I see professors and people like that, a lot of Jewish individuals try to make in favor of it. They don't really believe in that shit because that's for the proletariat, really, that they are offering. The elite would never engage
in that.
The working class, the elite aren't going to do that. You think the elite are going to distribute their wealth equally among their underlings and things? You're crazy as hell if you think that's going to happen. They're not going to do any
of
that.
Not.
Okay. It is nature compels you toward growth. Everything that you see in nature is abundance. Okay, so if you're trying to restrict that abundance and everything, that's an artificial construct that somebody's trying to foist upon you. Somebody's trying to foist upon you their ideals of how you should live your life. That's a fucking demon. Okay, anything that infringes and encroaches on freedom of the individual and everything, you're a fucking demon. And that go for them three women on that Black Lives Matter and all of that who just admitted that they Marxists and everything. Y'all still sporting these Black Lives Matter shirts and everything because you don't even know what you're being involved in. I just said Marxism and communism, and most of y'all don't even know what that means.
No.
They say they're well trained in it. And you can look at Adam and see that they are against nature. Look at what they're doing now. They don't want you breathing air. It's anything.
Well, you gotta think about the Jesuit orders. It's just like the Jesuit order. Like they do anything to conform to whatever the society that they're trying to conquer in order to blend in. Kind of like that informant that was infiltrating Marcus Garvey's movement to get him tried for or convicted for tax evasion. They just want anything. You know what I mean? So it's a communistic view to destroy a structure, a people, and to put some sort of monopolizing control over them so that person can benefit from every freaking move that they make. Now, it's just like slavery to me, but then again, you look at these people, they're talking about Black Lives Matter, and it does, but then you get organizations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and freaking, what's the other one, the Clinton Foundation, and so they take this movement, and they want the masses to believe, kind of like the Federal Reserve Bank, you know, they take the name, so since it sounds like Federal Reserve, you think it's actually some kind of federal entity when it's not. And then here's these Black Lives Matter people, you know, Black Lives Matter, but they don't realize who the hell's funding them and why everything seems to be so convenient. And black folks ain't never had enough money to make shit convenient. So anyway, I'm sorry to say it that way, but you know what I'm saying?
We don't
do that.
George Soros is Jewish. Who's been funding or even involved in this, who's been in control of this, has been Jewish. And that has just been my point. Yeah. To point out to people is our people aren't paying attention to that fact. When I tell our people that, they give me this blank look. I say, you know, everybody telling you to wear a mask and doing all this stuff is Jewish. And they give me this, like this little blank stare. Like, and I'm like, and
why
so I'll be like,
Pope,
you know what?
Why do you think the Pope wears a yarmulke, my man? Even the Pope wears a yarmulke.
Exactly. And here's the thing. I'll be thinking, you know, I say, man, you know what? I do really believe that, you know, when the Anunnaki came here, they said they made the Lulu Amalu, which are the primitive
Lulu Amalu?
So the Lulu Amalu. It means primitive worker in their language. Or they also call us the Black-eared Being. And these beings that were created to do slave labor. And I am just of the thought that I just think that there are some people who are content being slaves. And Harriet Tubman said it. Harriet Tubman said it. She said, I could have saved more people.
Freed more slaves. 1,000 more. If they knew that they were slaves.
If they knew that they were slaves.
Yeah. And here's another thing that fucks me up. Oh man, I just lost my train of thought. My bad, brother.
No, you're good.
I apologize. So let me ask you this then. So you said it was high frequency radio at Blog Talk?
High frequency blog talk at gmail.com.
Okay,
high frequency blog talk at gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
Just put it in the chat. But look, bro, I got to go. I appreciate your call, man.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go,
thank
my man.
Thank you very much.
Hey, much love.
And get in contact
later.
With me. Get in contact with me. We'll talk offline. We'll talk offline, okay?
Yes, sir. You're the man.
All
yes,
right.
sir.
All right. Peace, God. Later. Peace. All right, y'all. That is it for me tonight. I think this went well. On with the other thing. You know, how y'all like this? Y'all like me on, y'all like me live streaming on Facebook? How's that? Picture look clean, everything clean. Look good. You know, audio's good. Everything is good. I was jamming this right here. I'm gonna do an outro with this right here. Man, it's a bad jam, man. You know, I didn't really like get into Drake like that. I had to go back and listen to his old stuff. Y'all know Drake is Jewish too. Maybe they really are like the, you know, the superior people or whatever, you know. My man is jamming. I suppose I just want to be successful. And let me tell you something else. These songs, these artists be doing, I think that that is their way of putting out their law of attraction into the universe by recording, putting on records, and having it reverberate throughout the universe. And that's how they end up being so successful. Think about that. Anyway, I got to go. Peace to all the gods and goddesses. I will see y'all tomorrow. Same bad time, same bad channel. Be successful. I just want to be successful. I just want to be successful.